Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Owner's Box. My partner, the founder and managing partner of Little Red Feather Racing, Billy Koch, is not here because he's off cavorting in Canada at his cabin with his wife, Kathy, on their 30-year wedding anniversary. So I let him out of it today, but I didn't want to sleep on our guest. You guys might have seen her horse over the weekend named Mystic Dan win the 150th running of the Kentucky Derby. So without further ado, please welcome in Sherilyn Gassaway of 4G Racing. Sherilyn, thank you so much for joining.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, I'm so excited. Okay, well, I obviously want to talk about the Derby, but in case you haven't listened to our show is about the owner. So I actually want to hear about you and how you got your start in racing.
Well, my husband, there's an article about how he stood me up almost on the night he was supposed to ask me to marry him because he was at the races. Anyway, so he finally showed up and we went to dinner and we got engaged. Of course, my mom knew this was happening. So I was like, I guess I'm just going to eat. She's like, no, we don't have any food. When has your mother ever said you don't have any food?
Right.
But anyway, so we were both working, and when things kind of calmed down, I was working for Alltel as the CFO, and when Verizon bought us, things calmed down a little bit, and he's like, do you think we can buy into a horse? And I thought, you know, because I'm a finance background, and, you know, the money on that just sometimes doesn't work out so great.
Right.
So I was a little bit apprehensive, but he really wanted to do it, and so we bought into one horse with a partner that he found. He'd done a lot of research. And so we partnered with Ian Yarnott, our very first horse, and that horse, I think, won the first time. And so we were hooked right
then. You're like, easy game. We can do this all the time, right?
Yeah, I think that happens to people, and then they're just in it. So, but anyway, so it's been a long time. And I talked to someone the other day, and we were talking about how so much has changed in Kentucky. You know, with just the week of racing at mm-hmm. Churchill, you know, Thurby was for the locals.
Yep.
And when we went to it, we had a horse that my husband bought. He named after me. Her name was Sherilyn Jean. And, you know, we were running her in a $10,000 claiming race on Thurby Day 12 years ago. And she won. Robbie Alvarado was on her and she won. And it was the most exciting thing. But there were like two people there. There was no one there. And now Thurby is huge. Even now on Tuesday, I think they call it 5-0 Tuesday. It was huge. So they have just made Derby Week so spectacular. And so it's been a short 12 years, but it's changed so much in that time period.
Now, wait, I have to go back to the horse named after you real quick. That is very bold to name a horse after your wife.
Yeah. And I don't recommend it because you know what? She's been in our backyard ever since she quit racing and breeding. We bred her to and got a couple of babies out of her. But and then I have this sense of responsibility over them. So one of her daughters is here, and then I found a good home for the other one. But
that's nice.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Now, where do you live at?
I live in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Okay. And yes. But do you guys come up frequently to Kentucky?
We do. Anytime we've got horses running at Keeneland or at Churchill, we try and come up because they're usually big races. The purses mm-hmm. are amazing, and the experience is always wonderful. And so, yes, we do. I wish it was closer and easier to get to.
All right. I got to know the leap then, because you went from one claiming horse to, you know, for sure you had a $10,000 claimer. How did we get to this year where you have, you know, not only the Kentucky Derby winner, but you have another couple of good horses, including Denimans and Pearls? I mean, I feel like you have some serious horses this year.
Well, you know, I think that over the years, you know, we have figured out that, you know, you kind of have to mix it up a little bit. And so we have bought horses and flipped them just to try and have a little money coming in, you know, because in this game, you might have a couple of horses that are paying for all of them. Right.
Right.
And so we have a number of partnerships and, you know, we partnered with Brent's cousin, his first mm-hmm. cousin Lance, on this mare actually. And so when they wanted to retire her, his uncle, Brent's uncle, Lance's dad, said, I don't want to be in the breeding business. And so he called and he said, hey, would y'all be interested in owning part of this mare? We want to breed her. And I said, yes, absolutely. And so We paid $10,000 to breed to Golden Sense. And that is how we got Mystic Dan. You know, it took 4 years. I mean, you know, it's like I've said, God goes before you and he puts this plan in place. Mm-hmm. And to see it unfold is unbelievable.
Now, were you ever a horse girl before getting married or no?
No, like when I grew up, we had zero animals, zero. And so, you know, now I have, right now there's six dogs in my house because I have two of my daughters because she went with us on the trip and hasn't gotten them back. She lives in Dallas. We've got some horses here that are retired thoroughbreds. And then when I quit working full time, first I decided I would try and play the piano because, you know, why not try that? Well, I was terrible at that. And so then when we retired Cheryl and Jean, I thought, well, okay, let me try and take some horse lessons. I didn't know one thing about them. And, you know, they're 1,200 pound animals. They are a little bit overwhelming. And I remember the first time I got on her, I just thought she's going to bolt and go crazy. I couldn't even get her to go. I was like, okay. I was really worried for nothing. And so I tried to take a few of the thoroughbreds and turn them into like a riding horse for me while I was learning. That's really hard to do.
Green is hard.
Yes. And so anyways, I had several people suggest, why don't you buy a horse that would be more dressage suited? Mm-hmm. I don't need to jump. I'm too old to try jumping and things like that. And so I thought, I can't believe that I have to buy a horse because we give them away and find good homes for them all the time. But anyway, so I bought.
You should have made a trade deal with someone that had something, you know, and be like, here, I have another green one for you.
I know. It just seems like the thoroughbreds tend to do better when they have a new life as a jumper or hunter jumper or something like that. Getting round and collected and all that. I haven't had much luck with that. And I sent them off to different trainers and tried, you turn this into a dressage horse for me, and no, it didn't work out. So I did buy a couple of Spanish horses, Andalusians. Uh-huh. I have a trainer that's 2 hours from me. And so it was hilarious because I was like, okay, I need a trailer. And I bought a trailer and it showed up. And my son said, Mom, you don't know how to drive a trailer. I said, I know. I need you to teach me. And so he taught me how to pull a trailer and back it and all those things. I'm not perfect at it. I haven't had any major catastrophes yet, knock on wood. But I'll haul my horse to Jonesboro, Arkansas, to my trainer, Amanda Bailey, and go have a couple of lessons. I'll spend the night and then I'll haul them back. They are there now right now because I left them. I wanted to make sure they were still in training while I was gone this last week. So I am all in to horses at the moment. I would tell you I live them and I love it so much.
That is some dedication right there. I appreciate it. I'll tell you, when I first got my very first trailer, I got a little 3-horse bumper pull. And the very first thing I did was I had to go get gas. And I made the fatal mistake of pulling in very close to the gas island. And then I was stuck.
Yes. I got very close and I thought, how am I going to get myself out of this situation? So I've really learned to be very careful about doing that. And I just have a 2-horse bumper pull because I've got the 2 dressage horses and that's really all I ever anywhere. But, you know, we've gone to horse shows. One of my horses, my trainer, Amanda, actually rode him for me the first year. He's a baby, he's 4 years old, and he actually made it to nationals. And so we were there at nationals and Mystic Dan was running the next day after we finished nationals. He finished third amazingly. And so I had a flight booked after Mystic Dan's race because it was in Louisville, not in Lexington. And I got my AM and PM. Like, I guess I didn't have my glasses. Yeah, I did not get to be there. I was like, well, he's going to win for sure. And of course he did. It's when he broke his maiden and he won, you know, I wasn't there. So
Now you guys must not be superstitious because if that happened and we were together, I'd be like, you're not allowed, Sherilyn, to any other races now.
Believe me, I know. Sometimes I think that too. And so yes, I've said that many times, but it is what it is.
So how many horses do you guys have in total now?
Well, so we own a few by ourselves. I would say we have four mares that we either own. We own one by ourselves. We own two with Lance Gassaway, and then we own another one with Bill Helwig. And then we have from those mares,
796 foals.
I don't know that many, but we have quite a few. I mean, Ma'am, she has two fillies, and she just had another colt. So we've got three there. And then another horse that got claimed away from me, and I watched her for a year until I could find her. Yes. And I loved her so much. And as soon as she was back in training, I claimed her and retired her and brought her home. And I was riding her, and then someone called me and said, "Hey, I would love to buy your horse," because her brother won a graded stakes race. And I thought, well, if you want to breed her, I'll breed her. So I did. I bred her. And so we have three babies from her and her first baby. You know, the first foals are usually a little small.
Yeah.
But she was small and mighty. She had the biggest heart. And until the last two races, her two-year-old career, she hit the board every time. She won the $500,000 uncappable stakes. I mean, you want to talk about a proud mama? I was just like, look at my little baby girl go. So
I love that story. That could have been a story all in of itself. So you guys only breed to race it and not breed to sell?
We have not bred to sell any. I mean, you know, I'd say things changed overnight with all of Ma'am's babies, right? You know, now they're all very, being talked about. So we'll see. And then I didn't answer your question. I'm sorry. I got off on a tangent, but we have, I would say right now, and I'd have to count, but I mean, because sometimes we have a horse and it gets claimed we probably have interest in about 20, 25 horses, at the time. Some are in the Red, White, and Blue Racing Syndicate that Randy Gillette of Twin Creek started. He's a very good friend of ours. My very best friend is the brother-in-law of Steve Davison. And so Steve Davison and Randy Gillette are Twin Creeks Farms. And they kind of really got us into a lot of this. We certainly didn't have the budget that they had to buy horses. And Randy has very good taste, but he helped me help us pick out the horse that Brent named Cheryl and Jean. And he's helped me pick out the stallions that I've sent my mare, Mi Fiori, to, in every case. And, you know, it's just great to be partners with them because we know how they are, and we all have the same goals and dreams, right? Is to win something like this, right?
Now, is your husband so just gassed that he went from like almost begging for one horse to now you guys have a nice stable and you've won the Kentucky Derby with a homebred?
No, it is unbelievable. It is just unbelievable. We do have to just sit there and pinch ourselves. And honestly, people are like, has it sunk in yet? And I'm like, I'm still not sure if it really, really has sunk in. But I mean, you know, the other day I was sitting there watching something and I just broke out in tears. It's just so special to me.
What was that whole week like? I mean, because you go in as a little bit of a longer price, but I felt like no one was disrespecting you. I did a couple of podcasts and it was a horse. It was like, if you like him, you have to use him because he's been right there. I think the biggest knock against him was his big win came in the off track. Right. So it's not like everybody, you got a complete chuck out.
Yeah. Everybody. I mean, I think that's the case. And you know, when you sit and you see every day, they're doing a story about a particular horse. We were among 20 amazing horses. So, you know, I just, you know, anybody can win the Kentucky Derby, right? Because you're all in it and you've all done something amazing to get there. I think I was more nervous at the post position draw than I was at the actual race because, you know, post position is so important. And of course, you know, I'm analytical. And so I've read all this stuff like, oh, this post position has never won and this one has never. And you're like, it's like they would pull a number out. And then they would pull a horse out and you would just, the whole crowd was like when the one was drawn or when the 17 or the ones that, you know, they just say, oh, you know. So I think that was more nerve wracking just because it does impact where you are in the race and what your strategy is going to be. And then going and seeing him every day He has this
He's got a very clever personality.
He does. And he's very calm. And, you know, I've been around a lot of resources, some that you can't be around. And when we picked our daughter up from the airport, I said, hey, let's stop by the barn. He goes out around 3 o'clock and gets to go graze. And so we stopped and Kenny was getting him out and he's like, here, you can take him. And I literally let him over there and he's just grazing and, you know, just cool as he could be. And to have a demeanor like that when tractors are going by, the races are going on. It's right. Final Tuesday. There's so much music going on. There are people cheering and screaming and you can hear it on the backside. And he's not fazed by any of it. And so every day that we would go see him, that's how he was. And he would go out and do his little job or whatever he was doing that day. He went and he had his like freshening coming out of the gate. We wanted to make sure he was accustomed to one standing there for as long as it might take. Right. Yeah. And so we did that one day where he just stood there for about 2 minutes and then they pulled him out. And then the next day they took him back and popped him out and popped out great. I mean, he is great out of the gate. And that's what we wanted to make sure that he was, hey, we remember how to do this, right? and then I think when we got ready for the walkover, you know, seeing how calm he was on the walkover, there are 150 plus thousand people screaming and yelling and so many people around us. And honestly, it was like so much commotion. And we've done this one time before. One of our partners, Bill and Tammy Simon, had a horse, Barber Road, that was in the Derby. Oh,
yes, I love Barber Road.
We partnered with them on a number of horses, but we couldn't partner on every horse that they had. And he was trying something new. He bought a bunch of weanlings, and this one he bought for $15,000. What an amazing story. And so when he was able to get, you know, points and be qualified to go to the Derby, he invited us to do the walkover with him. So we had done it before. And I remember doing the walkover and knowing that, you know what, you all of a sudden get just covered up by horses and covered up by people. And so when Dan, Mystic Dan, came and like started to lead, they weren't in numerical order. I was like, here we go. And I'm like, I lost my husband. I'm like, I am keeping up with him. I'm going to stay up with him.
And what shoes did you wear for the walkover? I have to know. We're watching a little clip right now, by the way.
I know. Well, you know, since I'm a horse girl, I wear these crazy dance go clogs, you know, which my daughter said, Mom, those are the ugliest things. You don't need to wear those. But you know what? They're great for being around horses because they have a little bit of support on the toe in case you do get too close to them. And so, and I can get some pretty good traction and sand with them. And so that's what I wore. So anyways, but on the walkover, he was just calm, calm, calm. And then when we get to the paddock, we're the first ones there. And the paddock is already completely full of people. I don't know how those people got in there because they were, you know, they're very strict about.
You have to literally camp for like two races before and then hide.
I don't really know how all those people, I don't know who they were with or how they got in there, because you have to have like certain credentials to get into the paddock and only so many people can walk over with the horse and all that and stuff. So I was like, who are all these people? And then, you know, I'm trying to get up there so that I can be close to watch him. And then when they said, okay, if you're listed on the program, you can go over with your horse. Well, I always go right. and get in the paddock with him. And oh my gosh, he just standing there so calm. He's just so chill. And other horses are having a fit and don't want to be saddled. And, you know, you just don't want your horse, you don't want to see your horse run his race or any of it, the paddock. Yep. And he was just chill. So I had every confidence in him. And, I had prayed over him and I was just ready to go.
Now, were you nervous at all, though, that McPeak had won the Oaks the day before? Because for a trainer to win the Oaks and the Derby in the same weekend is, you know, pretty upper echelon there.
It is. But you know what? I had every faith in Brian Hernandez because he is just amazing. And I'm like, great. He just won it. He knows what to do. He knows. And no, I mean, he's just so stand up. I mean, he's very honest with you about your horse and about the trip and about everything that happens. And you never have to worry about him getting off your horse and him not being prepared and him not giving you 125%. So, and right before he got on, Kenny was talking to him about, hey, look, now I'm hearing that maybe door knock's not going to go. You know, you need to be mindful of the pace. You need to put yourself in the right spot. You know, just, you know what to do. And so, you know, because originally we had heard, okay, this horse and this horse are going to go. And we didn't all want to burn him up either. We wanted to sit off of that. And so he could not have been in a better place. It's like he just had a little pocket of, you know, clearness around him. And then it was just really knowing at the right time to go on that rail and squeeze himself through.
This was the move right here, keeping him right here. Where he, like you said, look at this perfect pocket. It is like he had the red barrier, a C around
it. He did. Yeah, I was like, God, okay, get ready. We need you to part the C's here in just a second.
I think this was the move that won the race, though, in my honest opinion. Every single person was like, look at the three going up and getting this killer position right now.
Yes, and he did that in the Southwest as well. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, when he did it in the Southwest and he just kicked clear, I've never been one to get excited before they get to the end, like thinking that we've won, because I have been burnt at the, you know, I've lost five nose. I've been the Sierra Leone so many times, I can't tell you. But right here is when he just squeezed through. He had to get through there. And then he kind of kicked away. And that's when you see that viral video of me and my kids just going insane. But then I know the finish line, this is the longest stretch.
It is the longest stretch in North America right here.
I'm like, where is the finish line? And we couldn't really see the finish line because our box was sitting back a little bit from it. And so at the moment, I didn't know if we got it or not. And like I said, I've lost by nose so many times. So to be on the other side of that, you know, yes, it would have been amazing to be second or third, but I wanted to win.
How many times have you watched back this race now?
Oh, I can't tell you how many times. I cannot tell you how many times I've watched it. And every time it's just so amazing. It's just like my husband just sits and just, you know, read it. Rewind, rewind.
I know that Kenny has said we're not going to make any predictions about Preakness yet. But what does it feel like to be the only horse this year who could win the Triple Crown?
Well, I mean, I think the pressure for that is immense. We want to do what's right for our horse. And, you know, the race that I told you about earlier that I missed, that I wasn't able to go to at Churchill, I don't remember because I don't have that form in front of me, but I think he got like a 95 buyer or something like that. Right. And then 2 weeks later, Kenny's like, I know y'all are going to think I'm crazy. And we were coming to Louisville that day anyways, because Denman Pearls was running. And it was Thanksgiving, and so we just last minute went, our kids are home, we can all go. And so we were like, Lance and Bobby Joe, do y'all want to go with us? And they said, sure. So we all get there, and we just have these high expectations because he just ran so well. And then when he finished fifth, and everybody was like, oh, can he stretch out? You know, we're like, oh, well, maybe, you know, what's the deal? And then when they take him back and scope him, you know, he's full of mucus, you know. So then we had to go, oh, shoot, okay. So then he had to, you know, be on some antibiotics and be turned out for a little bit and like get back into training. And then it really messed up the whole schedule for these prep races.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the thing. You know, it's like you miss one, and then if your timing gets off, you're really not able to even think about going to the Derby. So getting to the Derby and having the points is just unbelievable. So we really needed two more works when it was time for the Smarty Jones. And you know what? Kenny had said, we're not going to run in the Smarty Jones. And then I get this ding on my phone and I look and we've entered for the Smarty Jones. And I'm like, what the heck? And so I call Lance and I'm like, what's going on? He's like, well, I just talked to Kenny. He's like, you know what? It'll be like having two works. So.
Yeah, we have like four works. A race is worth four works.
So he's like, we're just going to do it. We know that he's not completely ready, but let's just run him. And he got tired right at the end, you know, that not being quite fit got him. And so we were fifth and everybody's like, yeah, okay, he was fifth. You know, we got 1 point. Well, that 1 point really helped and made a difference in us getting in the Derby, right?
Right.
Then Then in Arkansas, I don't know how familiar you are with it, but when the bad weather comes in, the track shuts down and there's no training. So Lance and I were like, you've got to get him out of here. And so he's like, I got him, and they got him to New Orleans to the fairgrounds and started training, and Brian was there. So that was even better. Not that having Robbie Alvarado is terrible at Oaklawn. It was wonderful having him there, but we went ahead and sent him. And so Brian was able to get on him more, and he was really able to keep him in fit shape. And so coming into the Southwest, I felt very, very positive about him because I felt like the Smarty Jones was not his race. And I said, you know, I really felt like, okay, I think he could do it. And then, but I didn't know about the wet, you know, because that's always this thing that you don't know about and if they hate it and, you know. So anyways, he really showed his stuff there that day. And then it's 3 weeks until the Rebel. So Kenny's like, he just ran a huge number. He got over 100 bar. I'm not doing this. I'm not going to run him back in 3 weeks. We're going to wait and save it for the Arkansas Derby. So then I'm like, okay, we have to be first or second to know we're in the Derby. And if we're third, you know, wow, we're going to have a lot of things happen. And so, of course, I'm reminding God about that, you know, hey, we need to be first or second, right?
You know, we had this conversation already.
We did. And he's like, well, guess what, Geraldine? You have to trust me. You know, you have to trust me and make things work out. So, yeah, that's where we are. So I went and talked to, you know, a group for a fundraiser for the Arkansas Oaklawn Chaplaincy. And I was like, yeah, we got to have faith first to make it. And so we made it. We're going to be in the Derby. And so it was good to have something to talk about, because what if I'd been there as the speaker and we didn't make the cut? I mean, that would have been awesome.
You're like, God has bigger plans. I'm not sure what they are right now, but they don't involve roses.
Yes. So anyways, we're super excited that we got to that point. So anyways, I really felt like with him having these, you know, he and Fierceness were the only two horses in the race that had over 100 buyers. Mm-hmm. So I just felt like everybody really didn't give him respect because he didn't win the Arkansas Derby. And if, you know, if you don't go watch the Arkansas Derby and see that he got nailed and he got taken back, you know, we were in it and then we weren't because he got hit by that horse. And I don't know how Brian stayed on him, but he did. And for him to fight back and get third, you know, was amazing. But I just think a lot of people discounted him because, oh, he was third, you know. Mm-hmm. So I understand. but that's what gave me a lot of faith and confidence in his abilities too. So,
well, I think that you're probably one of the most feel good stories that we've had in racing in a really long time. And I know that he has a lot more fans now. For sure. There's a lot of people that are going to be Mystic Dan fans going forward. I have to ask about his name too, because, I get asked all the time, what is his name, like a Harry Potter thing? And I'm like, I don't know what his name means.
It's not. So we own Ma'am, the mayor, right, with Lance Gassaway and Daniel Hamby III. He goes by Banks is his name that he goes by, but he's Daniel Hamby III. And so, matter of fact, Brent and I and Lance and BJ were having dinner after a horse that we own with them, Southern Grace, had won. And so we get these texts, oh, you just had a colt, you know? And so it's the first foal that Ma'am has had. And Lance said, oh, Banks wanted to name it after his dad. So he said, wait, since it's a colt, we'll let him name the first one. So we take turns. We each get to turns naming it. And so he said, I know he's got a name picked out. Let me call him. And so he called him and he said, yeah, I want to name him Mystic Dan. His dad evidently started a company named Mystic Tape Company. And and so he wanted to name him Mystic Dan. And and then I think that turned into, you know, the Sigma Supply Company that
they have. So he's literally been named since birth.
Yes. Oh,
that's
yes.
Amazing.
Yes. Since birth. I mean, I immediately got on the Jockey Club thing, did put the request in and got the name back. Yeah. We name them fast. We've got them ready to go. The second a baby that we had, we didn't know if it was going to be a boy or a girl, and he was out of Unified. And do you know I had Universe on hold for him?
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wow.
And then it was a filly. And so I was like, well, let me see if they'll give me Miss Universe.
Miss Universe, of course. Right.
So they wouldn't give me that. And so I ended up naming her Yes Ma'am. So,
oh, I like that though.
Yes.
That's super
so
cool.
She, yeah. So she'll be at the track soon. We've got her ready to go and she looks amazing. So, so yes. And then, BJ and Lance named the next filly after their grandson, Ford. And so his name is Ford's Ma'am, or her name is Ford's Ma'am.
Okay.
And then we had another colt, and I don't know if you know this, but Lance had another horse that was headed to the Derby. Do you know that?
Uh-uh.
So again, Lance and his dad went to the sale. They got a horse. He called my husband. And he said, "Hey, we bought a colt. Y'all interested in being part of it?" And I don't know. I must have, I'm the numbers girl over here, and
Poo-pooed that idea.
I must have been complaining about how expensive all these babies are or something. But Brent did not even tell me. Lance called and said, "Hey, do you want to be on this colt?" And so fast forward, they show up at Keeneland. We're there that weekend for, I don't remember who we're watching, but we're there. And I look and I'm like, "Do you know Lance and Uncle Clint have a horse in the main special weight today?" And he's like, "Oh, well, we better go down there." So we go down to the paddock and we're like, "Hey, what about this horse?" And he goes, "Well, Brent, this is one I called you about. You didn't want to be in on." And his name is Wells Bayou. And
oh,
so,
yes.
And so I said, "Well, I can't believe this." And then the jockey walks out and he's got our silks on instead of Lance's silks, because, they were some confusion, Gasaway related, in the silks room. It was too late to go find theirs. I said, "Well, you're going to win now."
Yeah, right.
Our silks and not yours. And sure enough, he won, got a big number. I called him on the way home. I'm like, "Well, can we be in on him now?"
Yeah.
And he goes, "Well, the price just went up." And I said, "Yep, I guess we're going to be living vicariously through you on this one." And so that's what we did. We just had to watch. And
"But you can use my silks anytime you want to."
Yes, exactly. And so anyways, Wells Bayou had a great run. He had plenty of points after winning the Louisiana Derby to go to the Derby. He also had finished, I can't recall exactly, second, third, in a couple of the other prep races at Oaklawn. Mm-hmm. And, but it was COVID year. And so guess what? It got pushed to September. And he got hurt in between there. So he is standing in Oklahoma. And so we had sent Ma'am to him. And so
really?
she just had a colt out of Wells Bayou.
Wow.
Yeah. So now we're waiting.
Yet? I got to know what his name
is. Well, it was funny because Banks, it's his turn. And he had already sent in a name. And I looked it up and I'm like, "It's already reserved. Did anybody already reserve this?" And everybody's like, "No." So we don't know who reserved it, but I'm like, "Okay, Banks, back to the drawing board. You're gonna come up."
If someone else reserves it, you can call the jockey club and they might let you give them your contact info so you can offer. Yeah.
I'm gonna do that. Yeah, because our partners Randy and Kim, they are so good about that, because when we bought this Omaha Beach colt, they were like, "Okay, what names?" I'm like, "What about D-Day?" Well, it was spelled differently and somebody had it and they called and they really did all this stuff and they were able to get it. But anyway, so yeah, I'm sure if we call, I don't know how that conversation will go, but it's
You're
worth
like,
it.
"I'd like to name a brother to the Kentucky Derby winner this name you have reserved."
Yes. And they'll be like, "Well, let's say price just went up."
That $100 reserve fee looked really good, right?
Yes, I think it was a name after a place where they would always go, and so it was special to him from a family.
Oh well, then it might be Coolmore might own it. I feel like they own every single destination in the world. Every state belongs to Coolmore. I feel like so.
I know. It's funny because in December when the names get released, Randy Galletto called. He's like, "Okay, they're about to get released. Everybody, you go through, T through Z, and you go, he spreads it out, and we all go run around looking for great names that have been released."
Oh, I love it. The name party. Now, I do have a task for you for next time we speak. Oh. The photo behind you is going to have to be changed to
a nice
win photo.
Yes, it's definitely going to happen. This is, I still have to do lots of Zoom calls and things like that I'm on a couple of public company boards, and so this is my office, right? But yeah, I'm gonna have to change it up or move my computer into our den where we have all of our wind photos and things.
Or you could just have a close-up picture of the rose blanket, so it's kind of like, if you know.
Yes,
right?
I like that. We're gonna take that rose blanket and we're having them separated into fourths, so all the other pieces of it and have it preserved. So yeah, super excited.
I love it. Well, I promised you a lot shorter time, but you were just such an absolute treat for me. And I really appreciate all the stories you got to tell. So we will hopefully be seeing you in Baltimore, but if not, we'll see you in the next race down the road.
We will see. We'll see. I think he goes to the track Wednesday. We'll see how that goes. I did hear that he ate really well last night. So we'll see.
Well, he looked like he was in very fine energy when we got to see the morning after video. So that was always great. So thank you, Sherilyn Gassaway, part of 4G Racing, who, of course, won the Kentucky Derby this last weekend with Mystic Dan. And we'll be right back.
All right. We are back. And look who's here. Michelle, great
job.
From
your cabin in Canada. What? Look at that place.
Isn't it cool?
Can I get a tour?
You can. It's kind of a disaster because we just got here last night. I'm trying to think, like, this is just kind of where you walk in.
It's so cute.
Yeah, that, and then upstairs, that's our room. And then if you go this way, that's the lake is out there.
Oh my gosh. Do you fish or what do you do on the lake?
We just do all lake stuff. You know, water ski, I mean jet ski and swim and hang out. It's a lot of fun. We've been here for a long, long time. So this is actually where we got engaged.
Really?
Over 30 years ago. Yeah, right down on the bank.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Crazy. Crazy,
I
right?
Love it.
So we came here after that crazy derby weekend. And Michelle, great job with the interview. What a cool
Sherilyn is so amazing. I mean, like I told her, like 15, 20 minutes and like 30 minutes into it, I'm like, do I have to hang up? Because she was so fantastic. So
that's awesome.
Really great stories job from her. And always exciting to get, I mean, our derby winner regardless, but especially when it's a smaller, you know, connection. I just thought it was awesome and a homebred and the whole story was great.
It was a great story. It was a great race. I can't remember. So just so you know, personally, like on when we did our show, I don't think I loved Dan yet. Uh-huh. Did I? I don't
yet?
Remember.
Did you say yet?
Yeah. So,
okay.
But by the time Friday rolled around, and I'm so stupid because I didn't put him in my 2-day pick six, but the time Saturday morning rolled around, all of a sudden, I loved Mystic Dan. I had him. I had the exacta with Sierra Leone. I missed the try because I did not have Forever Young.
How did you not have Forever Young?
But the crazy thing is I went back onto my TVG account and I did like him on Friday because I hit the double, the Kenny McPeak double. Uh-huh. I hit the Oaks Turf Race Derby pick three. I was like, I just lit it up this weekend, Michelle.
That is so great. Yeah, I did not use, I had like my exacta that was like, you know, I had completely faded Fierceness.
Yeah, you did.
So I had Sierra Leone, Forever Young, Resilience, Stronghold.
Oh, no.
My only like horse I liked that ran crappy was just Steel. And I don't know what the heck he was doing.
He was kind of on the lead, I think. I kind of like,
Yeah.
Yeah, but what a ride. What a weekend for Kenny McPeak. I mean, I told you I loved Torpedo Anna, I believe, on the show.
Yeah.
Figured you should pull that clip.
I also loved Torpedo Anna for sure.
Right. And so was a good weekend for the good guys, for us. I mean, just because selfishly, we weren't who is the woman that predicted like literally the top four?
Caitlin Free.
Caitlin Free. I don't really know her, but good job, Caitlin Free. That's pretty good. I mean, there's a lot of people who you know, you find out after who actually liked Mystic Dan. So good for you. Congratulations. And hopefully I'm hearing things that he's now going to the Preakness. Did you hear that today?
So what we've heard is the last time he ran back quick, he didn't run good.
Right.
That
was yesterday.
Yeah. And then today it was more of like, you know, we're going to let him tell us. And Sherilyn did say on the show that he was going back to the track tomorrow, which is going to be Wednesday from when we shoot this show. And, you know, obviously we can't say, hey, pressure's on. Because everyone wants to do right by their horse.
Is pressure on? Because is Mystic Dan, in your opinion, let's put you in Sherilyn's shoes. You know, you have this really nice horse that just won the Kentucky Derby. You have probably stallion deals coming. I don't, do you have to run in the Preakness? I mean, there's a, what's the pressure?
I will say this. Do you necessarily think he's a Belmont horse? I mean, even at the mile and a quarter that it is this year, right? Because it's at Saratoga.
Yeah.
It, like, is he?
He just won at a mile and a quarter.
Yeah, that's true. But he got a really great trip. Yeah. Like, I do you run the risk of like skipping the Preakness? And if you do think he's a 10 furlong Belmont horse, do you run the risk of skipping the Preakness? And then what happens if you win the Belmont and the Derby and you're like, crap, I could have won the Triple Crown?
I don't know. I think it'd be hard. I think they're doing the right thing. They don't have to make a decision right now. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Let the horse talk to you and see how he's doing. Because for whatever reason, Michelle, and you know this, and you can look through the annals of time, Derby winners do run well in the Preakness. It's like they come back and run well. Now, they don't always win, but they generally come back and run pretty well.
So and I have to say I did the Preakness futures. Did you?
I did not. Sorry.
Okay. So I think the only horse, by the way, that is confirmed is Just Steel coming back in the Preakness. And in the Preakness futures, I put $20 on Just Steel because I said this is the only horse I could see that if he ran like crap, Lucas would maybe bring him back.
That's amazing. That's so smart of you. That's really great. Any other races that we want to discuss?
Of course there is.
Okay. I just want to make sure. Cause I just wanted to, I know you're not feeling well and I appreciate you doing this. And I'm sure our fans appreciate you with the interview that you just did. So, I'm trying to keep it quick. So where do you want
to, well, we obviously I have to talk about GFP because
that was pretty
funny. I
told you. I did
call him GFP on air. Yeah. So this is our conversation. I'm like, Billy, you're trying to give me Rexford as a birthday gift. And he's like, he's not fit. I'm like, oh, good. Perfect time. I'm going to claim him too then. And he's like, oh, he's just not fit. So I poo-poo Rexford and like put him in third and he wins. Okay. When I was handicapping, I put GFP in second and I had Planetario first. Yeah. And then after we talked about Rexford, Billy's like, but GFP is going to run a good race. So I upgraded him. Nice. So it ended up like balancing out where I still looked okay. But I was like, seriously, after Rexford?
I wasn't like, you know me, I tell you whatever I think.
Yeah, but I know, class wise, he just like was so strong in that field. And I know you said
it's hard. It's just hard. You know, it's hard when you're working at Los Al to just truly know how fit a horse was. And so many things have to go right. For example, he broke like a shot and got a pretty easy lead, right? I mean, so many things went right for him that looking back, you know, if I knew that was going to happen, if I knew he was going to get an easy lead, fine. But, you know, Gold Phoenix is such an interesting horse because he's just not your typical horse. He breezed before he won the Eddie Reed or the Del Mar Handicap. I can't remember last year. He worked in 107 on the grass. And that's 5 furlongs in 107. And we were like, what just happened? So I don't know what happened in that last race. None of us know what happened. Maybe JJ Hernandez just had him too far back. I know, listen, Phil wasn't happy with his ride afterwards in that race. He just kind of was never really asked him, never really got down, never really rode him. But it could have been Gold Phoenix just didn't feel like running that day because he sure was a different horse over the weekend. And it's just so great for the Little Red Feather Partners to have him back because he's one of our like cornerstone horses. Yeah. And he's just brings so much happiness and joy to everybody. So, and the way he did it too, he looked like he was just going to get swallowed up. And then he was like, no, I don't think so today, boys.
That was very exciting. So congratulations out to you guys. We also had our first juvenile races over at Santa Anita. I know Keeneland's been in full swing with the baby races and we've been a step behind. But some people might think that's better because we're giving our horses a little bit more time to, you know, get ready. So at least we have those underway at Santa Anita. What did you think since you were at the Derby? What was the outside of the Oaks in the Derby? What was the best race this weekend?
What was the best race? Wow, there were so many good races. I mean, that race that the Ammermans won, the American Turf, that Rispoli won on Turkari. What's the horse's name?
It looked like Taziki to me from the screen. So.
Graham Motion coming through at a huge price. Of course, I ran into Graham like right after the race. I'm like, nice win, man. And he goes, I didn't even bet.
I feel like Graham's like a $5 better though. Like I can't see Graham like hammering the window.
No, I thought that race was pretty good. I thought Program Trading. I'm such a big fan of that horse after he won the Hollywood Derby last year and coming back. This was
a gutty race too.
As a 4-year-old to beat Naval Power. I thought that was an awesome race. Trying to think who was it. How about that allowance winner?
Mind frame.
Woof. I mean, he looked like one of the best horses we saw on the whole card that day.
And Fletcher said that there are no Preakness for him, possibly the Belmont. Maybe Belmont.
I thought he was super impressive. I was really Friday, we just had a great day. We just couldn't lose. I don't know what was happening. I've never seen it. I thought Cherie DeVoe's Vava. I don't know if that was Friday or Saturday winning the grade one. I think that's the Derby City. She was awesome. So many, you know, it was, we sat in the SI club. So, and it was phenomenal. I mean, Churchill did a great job. This place is great. It's, you know, it's air conditioned. It's right behind the paddock. You can see everything that's going on in the paddock. They had stations for us to go to watch the race, either down
the track. Like how far are you from the track?
You'd have to, it's, you know, a 2 second walk. You just walk up some stairs, you know, and there's little spaces with TVs. It was really great. Now, for someone like myself, and I don't know how you are, I'm at the point in my life that I don't need 100,000 people all over me watching a horse race. But for someone who wants that experience, you could do that. I mean, you go to the boxes or you get a seat somewhere and you, the vibe was amazing. It was really, it's for me, I could be in front of a TV screen with six of my friends and having the time of my life. So I'm a little different. I'm completely jaded at this point, but it was a great vibe the whole, you know, the whole time there. And I liked the paddock. As I've heard conflicting issues. I thought it was really cool. I thought, you know, we ran Elm Drive there on Friday and it was, it was great to be there and in that race and got beat a length and a quarter and ran fifth. It was like, oh my God, what's happening? Right. But great vibe at Churchill. And yeah, I had a long talk with a couple people, Michelle. I had a long talk with Mike Rapoli, actually. I was on TV with Mike, like, because he just walked by me and said hello. And we started talking. He's like, hey, I meant what I said. I really want to help California racing. And I was like, let's do it. And he's like, I need you to call me this week. So hopefully I'll be talking to him this week about some ideas and what we can do. He was very serious. He was, you know, I said, I know that's not you tweeting. He goes, okay, it's not me tweeting, but I am dictating what is to be said. So take that with that. That's what he said to me. He goes, I am dictating it. And yeah, but I said, there's no way you're sitting there typing that stuff up. And he goes,
you're just telling Danielle, and Danielle's saying,
telling somebody. Yes. I don't know if it's Danielle or whoever he's telling. So anyway, a lot of fun, just a great weekend, you know, and just good for horse racing. No, knock on wood, there were no injuries, no significant injuries. Thought the racing was great, even in the slop on Friday. Just overall great weekend and very much looking forward to Preakness. Cause you know, it's, that I hope you're feeling better for that, because that's our time. That's our day. So
I'm like the only person that can get a stomach flu though and like not drop 10 pounds. I haven't eaten in 3 days, but like, yeah.
Oh no.
Awful.
All right.
Anyways, so that was our kind of just like quick wrap up. Just want to tell you what's coming up next at Santa Anita this weekend. First of all, we will have a Pick Six carryover on May 10th, $104,000. So obviously that's always a big positive. And I think it's going to be kind of a mellow week just as we're gearing up towards, you know, next week. It is Mother's Day. We're going to have a big Mother's Day buffet, front runner buffet, and we're going to have Mother's Day in the chandelier room. We're going to have the next week is the Cajun shrimp boil as well.
That's awesome.
That's it. Well, so
I think the next time I'm going to see you is at Preakness. Yeah.
Let me see, look at this crazy calendar. I'm finally
coming home.
Sheesh.
I feel like I've been gone a really long time.
Well, I mean, it's hard to be bi-coastal.
Yeah, it's tough.
Right? It is tough. How long are you staying in Canada?
We're going back to Lexington on Thursday.
Oh, so you have two more days there.
I got two more days. Yep.
Oh, it's gonna be. What does Kathy do when you go up there?
Runs a lot of errands and works on the cottage.
That's all she does at every house. She's just like in a constant state.
Always like working. Yeah, and right now she's out running errands so that I could do this, and then I have a Karma board meeting in about an hour. So. I got a busy day.
Oh, good. Exciting. Well, you guys have to figure out what to do with those Dettori boots in your Karma board meeting.
Yes, we will. You know what? I'll bring it up and I'll ask them today. That's a great reminder. And thank you for doing the interview today. We appreciate everybody who listens to the show and watches this show on however they're watching.
Every network that you watch it on.
We have no idea what this is happening, but Michelle, I miss you and I hope you feel better.
Thanks, Billy. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye, everybody.